Can you imagine trying to describe and explain dancing to the proverbial alien from Mars? It might go something like this. Well, dancing is moving your body around to coincide with the vibration of sounds made by other people on various contraptions they've made. Reply? Well, if you need to move your body around, why don't you use a transport machine? Oh, no, it's not to get anywhere. Well, not unless it's a square dance or a circle dance. Then you move to somewhere else in the room, but end up back where you started. You just move different parts of your body in different directions, fast or slow, according to the speed of the sounds being produced. Reply? Why? Oh, to show we're happy, to celebrate something good, to be part of a pair bonding ritual, to be an expression of beauty, to worship our God, or just for sheer joy. To define dancing, to explain it and to analyse it, rather defeats the purpose, doesn't it? Yet we have a word for it, for what we all naturally understand. Trinity. It's a word to describe something which is impossible to pin down, difficult to totally understand as such, and open to so much misunderstanding. But it is the most natural concept to live with for a Christian. And I'm so pleased that our title today is Embracing the Trinity, Not Analyzing or Understanding It. Because that's what it's about. God demonstrating an embrace in which he offers to include us. After all, we say God is love, but how can he be if there was no one to love before creation? But Father, Son, and Holy Spirit demonstrate mutuality, inclusiveness, and love, even without any created person there. So what can we call this relationship within God? Finally, a word was formulated, Trinity. It's the best we've got. And ever since, we've been mumbling and stumbling over clover leaves and ice water and steam and all that. One day, someone may give us a better expression to use, but the reality will be the same. Trinity is a word to describe a mystery of sorts, but not a remote mystery that we can't grasp. It's about God as community and how we relate to the God who made us, redeemed us, and is always present with us. It's part of the dancing of our faith experience. As with the ascension, this too is not science. It's not something to dissect and analyze. It is truth to embrace and be embraced by. Well, so what? Why bother to think about it anyway? Well, I'd say it's because it opens up to us the nature of our God. In our gospel reading, we heard Jesus say, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear." It's such a human and compassionate thing to say, a total understanding of the human heart and mind in the face of imminent loss and bereavement, because this was said to them on the evening before he died. This is God who has been incarnate in a human life speaking. Jesus, the human face of God. The whole concept of God is too difficult for many people, but much easier is a person who is your friend, your neighbor, your teacher, but can totally represent that God, one who can cross barriers, reveal mysteries, connect with the disconnected. Jesus revealed the nature of God, the Creator, as Father. His disciples have known and loved him, but now he is going. But just as he brought the Father to them in his person, so another will come to bring God close to them. This will be God's Holy Spirit, liberally available to them all. So we could say the Holy Spirit is God the Creator at work in the world. Jesus is the fullness of God the Creator in a human life. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. So like some of our dancing, this relationship goes round and round in mutual embrace of love. Well, how does all this affect our daily relationship with God? We often say in church that we pray to the Father, through the Son, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's one of our favourite expressions, isn't it? You see, there's no division between them, and there is no hierarchy, one person over another. And if I want to talk to someone about God without going through all this rigmarole that I've just described, then I talk about Jesus, because that is the human connection. To worship Jesus is automatically to worship the Father and the Holy Spirit. I agree that if I were entering into dialogue with someone of another faith, I might speak about God rather than Jesus to begin with, because that would be my way to connect. But when speaking to someone who is not a person of faith, then I'd probably start with Jesus. After all, wasn't that the whole point of God's plan? Human identification. Paul writes in Romans that through Jesus we have obtained access to God. We've obtained grace, peace, and hope. And the Holy Spirit pours love into our hearts. All three persons of the Trinity working together. Paul came to many of his theological understandings through the things he suffered for Jesus' sake. Often it's through times of pain and sorrow that we grow in God's grace and deepen our Christian discipleship. Because the Christian life is life lived in the mess of this world. It's not about being otherworldly, but being up to our necks in the brokenness of it all. Following in the footsteps of Jesus, the man from Galilee, but empowered by his Spirit. And it's about dealing with our own sufferings too. They may come as a result of our sacrificial service to the Lord, but more often they are just our personal story bringing its consequences, sometimes from our fault, but more often just things that happen to us in a broken world. And at such times, we need to be embraced by the Trinity, the loving Father, the Son who knows how I feel, the Holy Spirit who lives in me and works through me. To live for God, we need hope and love, which I believe he longs to give us. I've brought with me today my little copy of Rubloff's famous icon of the Trinity, and I've put some copies out for you. I think you had one as you came into the church. I hope the choir saw that I'd put some on their choir store too. I'm not heavily into icons, I have to explain, but this one speaks to me so much. Icons are not pictures, paintings, they are like sermons. You don't paint an icon, you write an icon. And this icon is called the icon of the Trinity. And there are these three figures, and they sit in a sort of circular form around a table. And if you look carefully, they hold each other in their gazes. Their one is looking at the other, who's looking at the other. And the one on the right-hand side also glances towards the empty place where the fourth person could come and sit. That place is nearest to me as I look at it. I am invited to join in the embrace. Sometimes this can be a very helpful image. Imagine yourself walking up and sitting there, gazing at each face and realizing that you are equally being held in that gaze. Then just being there in that circle, that unmoving dance of love and belonging. This is your place. This is my place. You are invited. You belong. You are always welcome. You are never an intruder, because the place, as Jesus said, is prepared for you. And after you've sat for a while, you may need to return to whatever is the calling of your life. God's Holy Spirit works in the world ahead of us, preparing and sifting and calling creation to himself. We have to have our spiritual antennae out and about to sense where and when this is happening and offer ourselves to God to join in his work. So there we have community and unity in one God, and we are invited to join in the embrace. Would you pray with me, please? Dear loving Lord, thank you for this insight into your nature, an insight we call Trinity. Help us to apply it to our own spiritual understanding. May your Holy Spirit fill and encourage us with new perspectives on how to serve our Saviour and care for his sheep, so that one day we may stand before your throne and experience your loving, fatherly welcome. Amen.